Hey, sorry it's been so long. It's Data Transfer, and I'm Audrey.
I'm Carla.
Welcome back to us. Welcome back to you, the listener. And I hope you're having a good Pride Month. It's Pride Month. We missed most of Pride Month.
Well, we didn't miss it. We were making full use of it.
Yeah.
By being extremely gay.
I saw a rainbow today.
Yay. I saw a shooting star 2 nights ago.
Hey.
We were on call. Phenomenal. I did a wish.
What'd you wish for?
Don't tell me. I'm not telling anybody.
Okay, good.
No one gets to know.
It was Mitch McConnell dying.
If it happens, I'll let you know in retrospect.
Cool. Because it will have already happened. I feel it. Carla, what's up? How are you? What's been going on?
I'm doing pretty fucking good. Well, I'm up and down emotionally because we kind of have a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, in this world.
And not much I can do about it personally.
That's right.
But you and I have had some great achievements recently that have been buoying me.
Yes, we have.
Listeners might be familiar with a little game called Rabbit and Steel.
Rabbit and Steel.
An FF14 raid-like.
Raid-like's a cool name. I like that.
Yeah, it's a roguelike that's like a top-down, like side-scrolling shoot-em-up, but it's FF14 raid mechanics. And everyone's a girl, and yes, at least two of them are married. And that's very important to me. But the other thing that's important is that it's a hard fucking game when you start cranking things up on hard and lunar difficulty. Shit gets wild. And it was well over a year now that I was able to get the normal difficulty hitless reward, which is just a little golden floof ball. You start with a floof ball. It's a joke item. It breaks as soon as you get hit once. But if you get through without getting hit, you can upgrade it.
You get the next floof ball.
So
you start with like a little Peter Cottontail ass rabbit that sits next to you. And if you get touched, it gets shitty. It looks like hell next to you.
It becomes a dust bunny.
Yeah.
But that wasn't all that difficult to pull off. It still took time and practice.
Yes.
But that happened to me like solo while I was just going through the story.
Yes.
Hard has taken me significantly longer. It's well over a year since then.
Yes. And like I'm talking about, we weren't playing every day. We weren't even playing every week or maybe even every month. But every once in a while, we would pick the game up and try to do hitless hard runs, the two of us together.
Because I actually have been doing a lot of solo practice on my lonely nights where I have nothing else to do. And I have to pull up Steam real quick.
I have
130.4 hours.
Let's see. With leaving the game on overnight, which happens to me sometimes, I have 140.
Okay, yeah. Leaving it on overnight does account for 8 hours each time. So I think you're a wee bit behind me. But the important thing is that Audrey and I have been trying for so long to get a single no-hit run on hard difficulty. And we did it.
We did it.
First it was me. A few days ago, we just happened to get a run. Not even one where I like had defensive options to pull me through. We got the item that's like a blade of shielding for 3 hits.
Negates and 3 hits. It's as if you weren't hit.
And I didn't lose a single charge off that thing.
A legit hitless run.
Legit hard.
Where, if you play this game, we went through Red Dark House, which is an area with some mechanics that really fuck us over.
I don't know if you've ever tried to use an analog stick to move in a full circle.
It's hard.
It's hard, and it's easy to fuck up a little bit.
If you fuck up a little bit, and you get hit one time,
that's it.
Your hitless run is over.
That's it. So we did that, and then it was one or two days later.
Yes.
That we took another shot at it, and we managed to get Audrey through. Audrey got through completely hitless.
Well, I did have the Ablative Shield item as well. I got hit twice.
You picked it up at the start of the round and were like,
I was like, oh my
god.
Here's
your one chance, fancy, don't let me down.
I'm going to waste this, is what I said as soon as I picked it up. I was like, I'm going to waste these. And I didn't use them until like the second area.
Yeah, I used one hit on the frogs. There.
And I used one in the wolves. Or no, I used one in the Pale Keep.
Pale Keep, yep. On the way up to the boss.
Yeah.
But you got through the final boss proper, no hurt. And now we both have our rainbow flute balls.
Incredible.
The second F did not come out of my throat.
Flute ball.
Flute ball.
That's what they play in Denmark. Flute ball.
That's what they play in Final Fantasy X.
That's Blitzball.
Speaking of
Blitzball!
Blitzball! Oh, we had to talk about this!
Blitzball, Final Fantasy, Magic the Gathering, Final Fantasy is finally here. Like a mainline set in standard legal for Magic the Gathering, featuring the artwork, the character designs, and the spirit of venerated Square Enix RPG franchise Final Fantasy.
Several crucial story moments throughout the games, just little side things.
Yeah,
it's such a good set. It's such a good set.
They put their whole pussy in it. They definitely were taking some time off with Etherdrift. They definitely just kind of put that one out, and then this one they fucking knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's worth noting that they're two entirely separate teams.
Right.
They have three rotating teams at Waka. Watsy.
Is that like Watsky?
Way less cool. I don't think Watsky's ever had Pinkertons fucking break someone's limbs because he sent them cards on accident.
I don't think I don't think Watsky has is owned by Hasbro.
Oh man.
it's hard out here for
it
a nerd.
Sucks.
Because all of the biggest, and like this is something I run into sometimes. I like to think of my interests as very niche, as very particular, and that I'm so fucking cool, I'm too cool for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
The RPG that I have played the most of is Dungeons and Dragons, the most popular RPG of all time.
And probably the most problematic, which is saying something, because Shadowrun exists.
Shadowrun exists.
Fatal exists.
Vampire the Masquerade exists.
I mean, all of fucking White Wolf.
All of gaming, really. My favorite...
Don't you drag Pac-Man down. Pac-Man is a gender non-conforming icon. Fuck
That's
you.
True. That's true. My favorite card game, Magic the Gathering, the most popular collectible trading card game. At various times, there were times that Pokemon became more widely played. There were times that there was a brief, very brief period of time where Yu-Gi-Oh was the most widely played Magic or trading card game in the States.
You might say Magic-like.
And my favorite fucking band is Daft fucking Punk.
You really are the every woman. You are the archetypal trans woman.
That's
hilarious.
That's exactly correct.
I'm like, I love Mega Ran and Frontalot.
Sure.
I like Powered by the Apocalypse game systems for tabletop.
Those kick ass. I've played some of those.
My favorite card game is still Magic the Gathering, but a close second is an old favorite, Soulforge. The Steam.
Soulforge was cool.
I enjoyed that. I liked that a lot. It was bad, ultimately, especially as a free-to-play experience.
Did you ever hear about Keyforge? Okay, Keyforge is a wacky concept for a game. Developed by Richard Garfield, creator of Magic the Gathering, many years after the genesis of Magic the Gathering, he was contracted by this company. They're like, do you want to make a card game? And he was like, okay. And he was like, what if, hear me out, trading card game, no trading. Can't trade individual cards because each deck is completely unique. And it features like cards that might be common among different decks, But every box of Keyforge you buy is A, a complete deck, and B, completely unique and not able to be played with any other. Like, you can't combine two decks and make
a Keyforge deck. Mix and match. You can't make a bulk box and piece together a new deck from it.
Exactly.
Huh.
So there are some drawbacks and some benefits to this. Drawback number one, it's like you have to buy a $25 booster box anytime you want to get any new cards, and it's a completely new deck, and you can't iterate on the design of a deck. You're completely at the whims of the fucking RNG.
There is only the execution layer. There is no planning layer.
Yeah.
Or construction layer whatsoever.
It's basic, it's kind of like limited every time you play.
Yeah, you can't draft because your box is its own set of draft packs, basically.
Yeah, it's like a sealed deck, but it's truly a sealed deck. You are sealed into this deck. It was an interesting concept. It didn't really take off very much. There was a store that I played X-Wing at that it would have Keyforge tournaments sometimes, but it's the only place I'd ever seen it played.
Mm-hmm.
Can I briefly talk about another card game that I loved very much?
We didn't even talk about the one we wanted to. We got fucking sidetracked. No, talk about Final Fantasy set.
Okay, Final Fantasy set. If you're playing limited, draft Boros.
Just draft Boros.
It's
the boring answer, but boring holy shit is doesn't Boros. Work.
You can't spell boring onerous without Boros.
You wouldn't think a 2/2 for 2
that conditionally that gives another creature menace.
Or that lets you wheel cards out of your hand whenever you play an equipment or a dwarf.
He's you a 1/1. Think that would He's be even the a linchpin. 1/1 double
He's a 1/1 for 2, yeah. You wouldn't think that would be the linchpin of a deck, but holy shit.
Yeah,
you can
Jot's
really
good.
Pivot the momentum of a game around Jot incredibly well. So that's limited. That's draft.
Yes.
This has opened up so much shit for me in terms of deck building. Not that like there's any new options, really, besides Saga creatures, which are cool as shit. Even Job Select existed already. We had Living Weapon, we had Formiridon, we had stuff that just does that without a specific keyword. But because it's all Final Fantasy stuff, I'm enjoying making commander decks pretty much exclusively from what exists in the Final Fantasy set. Both the base stuff and the commander specific cards. With just a little splash of things that are like staples. Stuff that's just like what enables you to utilize a particular archetype with any amount of efficiency. Which isn't to say that the Final Fantasy set is underpowered. Some of these cards are bazonkalers.
Yeah.
Magic Damper, fantastic card to add to the like slip out the back. You know, I had one mana open and you tried to remove my thing, so
I'm gonna argue that Shore Up is better. Because I think Magic Damper's text is just Hexproof and +1/+1.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree that there's better stuff. I'm just saying that the stuff that's here...
Oh, it untaps it. It's exactly the same as Shore Up.
It's another Shore Up. Okay, well,
so
there
another
you
Shore
go.
Up, so
so it's as good as Shore Ups. We have fucking Stuck in Summoner's Sanctum for yet another like enchantment that just turns a thing into not a thing anymore.
That
like
you have to have those in your limited format. Those are things that you have to have.
You have to. But we have some juicy stuff to work around equipments. We have some juicy stuff to work around non-creature spells. And we have plenty more non-creature spells that get you creatures still.
And we have Jumbo.
Cactuar!
This is something that this set has introduced that I think is really cool. Are astronomically big numbers on cards.
Yeah. Yeah, Overkill and yes. Jumbo Cactuar are the two.
Yes.
She's
typing.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool. I gotta bring this up. Jumbo Cactuar costs 7.
7 mana.
And he has 1 power and 7 toughness. But when he attacks, he gets +9,999 attack, power.
So it's a way to beat... And I think we've needed this for some time. It's a way to defeat pillow fort with combat damage.
Yep. Yep. It's a way to go, I appreciate you did your life gain. I appreciate you even blocked it, but I'm in red and green and here is a fling.
Yes. Enjoy 9,999 damage to your fucking skull. 10,000
damage to the dome. 10,000
damage.
And of course, because they're playing life gain, they go to like negative 200.
Right. It's been a really great environment on the brawl queue on Magic the Gathering Arena.
Yeah.
It's been awesome to see just the incredible build variety at this point anyway. Eventually metas become solved. This is how games go.
They did gay meld. They did canonical lesbian meld.
Yes.
With Fang and Vanille, two canonically lesbian characters from Final Fantasy 13 who fuse into a giant creature together.
Yeah. What was that giant creature again?
Ragnarok.
Let's go, Golgari. Ragnarok. Woo!
Yeah, cool game. You should play it.
Okay.
The main character is like a soldier lady. And she's very gruff, and she give me the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the little fucking angry white boy shit, Hope, and I hate him. I hate him so much. I fuck hate Hope. Him. Fuck Hope.
Dude, don't fuck Hope! That's a, that is a...
Fuck Hope. All my homies love despair.
I have cock despair.
Why did you do... I was doing the song, and you go for Ray Romano.
Dobra! Hey, if anyone's coming over from Deborah,
we've been trapped in a high school, Deborah.
If everybody coming over from Radio Free Tote Bag, you already know this one, but I'm going to introduce you to my friend Gay Romano.
We love borrowing bits.
I love Gay Romano so much. He's my favorite character, Peter, because he's married to a guy named Peter. Because he's not.
Oh, Deborah. I thought this was a Family Guy crossover. Peter! Okay, go on.
We're going to brunch! Drag brunch!
Good. I'm sorry, I didn't have anything to follow the bit. I didn't know I was fine. Supposed to be Peter.
No, it's okay. No, you didn't have to
Peace.
Be. Because, I mean, if it was just Ray Romano, you'd be like, Deborah! We're late for the baseball game! You know.
Hey, Gay Romano, have you logged on?
Did you log on?
I started a new Christian dating site. I call it Praynator. I've invented a way for hunters to carbonate their way. Prey. I call it Earth or their quarry. I call it Praynator. You empty him dream catchers.
You empty him what's called Praynator.
I don't dislove you.
Oh, God. We are, by the way, referencing a bit from a now defunct improv podcast called Super Ego.
Like an 11-year-old bit? Something like that?
It's like 11 years old. And my favorite thing about it is you can't go listen to it. No. It's on YouTube.
Yep.
But the original podcast is still paywalled. You have to pay money to listen to old Super Ego episodes.
But you can see the animated skit.
You can see that skit. There's not even a ton of it on YouTube. I actually at one point had an Earwolf subscription. It was on the Earwolf podcasting network and listened to all of Super Ego over the course of like a summer and a fall.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's why you're insufferable.
Case studies in mental illness. The idea is that they're improving from a perspective of just, you know, it's always weird dudes in improv.
Uh-huh.
Like you always play, there's, you know, you have a straight man and then you have somebody who's a little offbeat. And that's where the comedy comes from, right? They have these like long form bits with like recurring characters that have various mental illnesses. And it's like, it'll be like a case study. I can't remember any of the names, but then it'll be like borderline personality disorder. And then you're improving from the perspective of a character that has that mental illness. It was great.
I did once ask what BPD a song was at.
Heck! What BPD is this track at?
Oh, yeah, I got the
love bombing stage.
Got the most dumbfounded look. Like, are you okay?
Very funny. We've been at it for 20 minutes, and anybody who isn't into, I don't know, niche podcasts, raid-like, roguelikes, or Magic the Gathering has been miserable for the last 20 minutes. You want to do some Digimon?
Good.
Fuck them.
You know what? Actually, let me add a little bit more. I was talking to my dad about podcasts, and he was like, I fucking hate how they won't just talk about the thing. They spend 10 minutes talking about, oh, here's what I've been up to, you know, arguing over the definitions of things, talking about a movie they watch, and it's just, I'm not here for it. I wanted to hear about the music history. See, or whatever, and I'm like,
he doesn't get,
you're not a podcast person.
Yeah, he doesn't get the parasocial thing.
You got, like, go, yeah, you have to find the people who you want to hear from.
Yes, even like fucking Behind the Bastards and that whole Robert Evans thing, they do a little bit of how you doing anymore, you know what I mean? And it's a very tight focus program. They're on fucking iHeart, for God's sake, and they still, you know, find a little time to chat about what they've been up to.
Yeah,
like,
so
this is what you do, it's what is done.
What I'm getting at is, if you're here, you are enjoying this regardless, because it's us being little ding dongs together.
Yeah, you've missed us.
And
probably,
if you didn't like us being ding dongs together, you wouldn't have made it this far.
No,
in this show,
no.
I go on fucking rants about political violence.
And if this is your first episode, which it very well could be, who knows? Maybe somebody's onboarding at this point. Welcome. It's not always like this. That's pretty much always like this.
It's pretty much always like this. Hey, my tits are out.
My tits are in a cami.
They're getting a little bit of sweat underneath.
You get a little under sweat, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm finally at a point where I have fucking tit sweat, and I'm like stoked on it, actually.
Welcome to the party. It's awful.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
You're gonna get tired of it so fast.
No, it's gender affirming. I love it.
That's great. Until it's not.
All right, baby, you want to do some Digimon plot synopsis?
Digimon.
Digimon. The episode we watched is called Spirit Needle, or in the English, Sky Knight Akilamon.
Sky Knight.
Or do I have
that
backwards?
Shit they put Spyro in?
Sky Knight is the stuff they put Han Solo in.
Oh, no, you're right.
The synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
Ayo, me too.
Ha, I have a stub. You can help by expanding it. At school, Kari and Daisuke have lunchroom duty. Daisuke doesn't think Ken is that bad, and he wants them to join their team.
Yeah, we start off with a conflict here. The rest of the team is like, hey, Ken did some shit and we are not over it. And Daisuke's like, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but like, look at, this is a different dude from who we were dealing with. This is just straight up a different person. Hair is different. Demeanor Stingmon. Is different. His willingness to work with his Digimon partner. The fact that he is on our side.
Yeah, the fact that he saved us from Thunderbombmon.
They do have there is a sub conflict there in the form of they think that was murder. That they're like, that was a thinking feeling Digimon. And it's like, actually, no. Turns out, we'll find out. It's not.
The fucked up thing is, and I like how they played this, because they absolutely did some Digimurders back in season one.
Oh, yeah. That was like episode two was Shelmon getting his shit rocked.
Getting his shit rocked.
I guess they threw him in the ocean. Kuwagamon gets burnt to death.
I'm thinking of the Gessomon that Ikakumon just fucking harpoon torpedoed to death.
Explodes him from the inside.
Yeah, or like
it causes the Dark Master on the continent nearby.
The Dark Masters. You want to talk about thinking, feeling beings? These are like very sapient.
Okay, but those are legitimately evil, attempting to kill everybody. People.
I mean, later in the episode, I don't know if fucking Iori would be down for that, based on what he's talking about. But anyway, you are
familiar with the exploding whale incident, right?
Oh, where they blew up the whale and chunks rained down.
Chunks landed all over the fucking road, all over nearby. Like ruined
people's cars and shit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like that! But guess someone said squid instead of whale, so you can munch on it.
Daisuke doesn't think Ken is that bad. He wants him to join their team. Iori is still mad at him. Very mad at him. He's like, so Daisuke has his comfort basketball with him, and he goes out to talk to Iori.
Who has his comfort sword.
And Daisuke's sitting on some steps, and he's looking over at Iori, who is repeatedly doing the fucking head strike.
Men!
Kendo move. He's doing the men move.
Men!
Like, hard and snappy and angry. And Daisuke's like, hey, man.
I know some men who would love it hard, snappy, and angry.
What do you think of letting Ken join the squad? What do you think about that? He's like, he like barely looks at him. He looks so fucking angry. And Daisuke's like, think about it. Have fun.
It really, I appreciate Daisuke in this episode because this is where we see the one really good thing about this guy.
Forgiveness.
And an ability to see where it's deserved.
Yeah, because he has courage
and where it's being sought, at least.
Yes. He has courage and friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of courage to pursue a friendship with somebody who has wronged you in the past. You gotta have a lot of heart in you to like to do that. He wants to meet, let's see. TK is the only one that agrees with Daisuke. After school, Daisuke says hi to Ken. He wants Ken to meet with the others in like a kind of a
they cool have scene. Like an adorable seaside or like riverside conversation. Chat.
Yeah.
Riverside, motherfucker.
I was at a roller rink one time and they were playing that track. And this was back when I had like first started DJing and I had never heard it before. I'd never heard the Sydney Sampson track Riverside. And I went up to the DJ booth and I was like, what track is this? Because it's incredibly loud in there. And the DJ, who I later became friends with, named DJ Dirty, D-U-R-T-Y, a trans mask in Columbus, Ohio.
Cool, oh, fuck cool yeah. Dude. That's why he spelled it wrong.
Yeah. Goes,
I won't elaborate on that.
It's a mashup between Lick It and Riverside.
Oh.
In this case, he was playing a mashup. And he goes, Lick It and Riverside! And I go, what? He goes, Lick It and Riverside! And I make him repeat it like 6 or 8 times, and I still don't know what it is. And I walk away from him not knowing what the track was. And I later hear it and go, oh, he was saying Riverside. Oh.
Okay, cool, chill, cool. Great story.
I just made him yell Lick It repeatedly.
Is that gender affirming?
Kinda. Daisuke knows that they need Ken's help and tells Ken that he is one of the Digidestined. He's like, listen, we're friends. We're partners, baby.
And, yeah. No, this is genuinely very admirable. He's just like, fucking, here is, like, you want a second chance? We are giving you a second chance.
Yes. Ken says that he can't join them.
He go, no.
Not going to do it. He go, no. And especially when Daisuke uses the word partners and Ken goes
and Ken's eyes go off into the middle distance and you hear burn.
More like you hear some like country music anthem about abusing your spouse.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Because I mean that's a really fraught concept for him, partnership, because the one being in this universe with which he was supposed to have an unshakable partnership with, he spent an entire, it's not a season of anime because anime seasons are 1,000 episodes long. a season of television, 24 episodes, beating the hell out of him.
That's a season of shonen anime.
Fair enough.
That's a whole ass Naruto.
TK is listening to them and agrees with Daisuke on forgiving Ken. Okay.
Yeah, no, I actually really appreciate this because TK has been the target of Daisuke's ire and possible gender confusion
sexual confusion.
Orientation confusion. Yep. This whole time, like, he has been the rival in Daisuke's mind, and yet he is here seeing Daisuke and going, oh, maybe the kid's all right. Maybe he's not just a ball of insecurity and horniness.
Maybe he's got the right idea here, letting Ken join the team and be forgiven.
Yeah, he saw how Ken reacted. He saw him not throw a punch. He saw him take in everything he was told and be like, here's where I'm standing. He's like, Okay. Yeah, maybe this can happen. Maybe we can get the White Ranger on the team.
He was the Green Ranger when they got him on the team.
The Green Ranger when he pooped a boop boop.
Yole talks with her family and is starting to become convinced about Ken too. She's hanging out with the fam and they're talking about this Ichijoji kid and how he's back and how you know, Yole is sort of surreptitiously talking about how Ken is like a cutie pie, kind of. I get the sense that she's like kind of into him.
She's a pan disaster,
Because she's into everybody. Yeah, she is a pan disaster. She is washing a cast iron. She is a pan disaster.
there's pan disaster feet right behind me.
Nice.
Beep.
Good beep. So Yole talks to the family, starting to become convinced about Ken too. In a part of the digital world infested with control spires, Stingmon destroys Sneemon.
Sneemon is such a fun name.
Snee.
It's such a cool design. It's a fucking praying mantis version
of Scyther. Kawagamon. It's a Digimon Scyther.
Yeah. But Sneemon is just adorable. It sounds like something you want to pinch its little cheekies.
Sounds like it's about to go. And it's like not super explained at this moment, but like it just shows that Ken is out doing the work and like defeating, you know, threatening Digimon in the digital world.
And crucially, taking down the dark towers that he himself was setting up in the first place.
Yeah, that whole network of shit is because of his doing. The next day, Mimi, who, can we talk about Mimi's fit and tan and hair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thought it was a different person. Did not know that was Mimi when I first saw her.
I saw her, assumed this was an American Digidestined we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah.
And then she says, Palmon. And I go,
hold on.
¿Por qué?
Entonces, fucking has like fro puffs.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get your hair to do that, Mimi?
Stylist.
I mean, but like, you have to have a stylist, like, who's good with like all kinds of hair textures, and I don't know, magically transforming one hair texture into another.
Fair point.
Yeah. I don't know how
that was done. You can do stiff peaks with the right stuff, right? Surely you can do like curly hair.
Surely it's hard. It's really hard to get
that. It's got to be labor intensive, but surely it's possible, right?
I guess. Apparently, you know, anime rules don't, you know.
Mimi's the fashionable one, so they just put her in whatever outfit the artists think is cool.
Yeah, like, if anyone would know how to get that done. She also got really tan. So I'm saying
Gyaru thing going on.
I'm saying that it's playing with race in a weird way.
I mean, the whole Gyaru thing is very much playing with race in a weird way. Japan is like that. You don't know about Gyaru culture? Let's bring this up, babe. Okay.
we are definitely qualified to talk about it being two white people to talk about a Japanese interpretation of black culture.
This is our space. Okay, Gyaru is a Japanese fashion subculture for women associated with what Wikipedia calls gaudy fashion styles and dyed hair. What this means is emulating American hip-hop fashion standards.
Okay.
It's we've seen so many ludicrous music videos, we want to look like that now.
Yeah, fair.
Including the dark skin part, hence all the tanning.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. Oh, and actual just straight up blackface. Don't forget that. That is an element of the culture.
Don't forget that Mr. Popo is still in Dragon Ball Z.
So. Don't forget about that. Think about it. Think about the racism. Yeah. Confront
right
it.
Now. Confront it. And stop it yourself. By yourself.
Stop it. Stop. Stop.
Go end it.
Get some help. You made me snort, goddammit.
But Mimi is hanging out with a group of Yukimi Badamon.
Okay, Yuki meaning snow.
Okay.
Kimi is like tiny, basically. Oh. So Yukimi is like a little portmanteau. And then Badamon is the little baby version of Agumon, actually. Yeah, so this is Snow Agumon's baby form.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And they're so cute. They're just little they look like the fucking floof ball from Rabbit and Steel.
They do.
But with a silly little smile.
Here it says that Palmon is off getting marshmallows. Nope, that's not what that is. Those are mushrooms.
They're
herbs and mushrooms. They're not marshmallows.
The dub is really dumb.
I really
it
hope
has continued
that that's
to be really stupid.
I hope that that's a dub error and not Timmy being so dumb that he
didn't recognize mushroom. He saw something on a stick and went, marshmallow.
Like, that's a marshmallow.
Nah, dude. That's a fern and a mushroom.
Yeah, dude. So Palmon is off getting marshmallows when she sees the evil woman at a control spire.
I mean, I also saw her. Hello.
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 The woman puts a spirit needle into the spire, and it turns into an evil Digimon.
It's her now, first of all, it's her hair. Okay.
It's her hair.
We'll see this later. It's just her hair. Second of all, can we get a two-word description? I mean, evil woman is already a two-word description, but
I think I said spider bitch, I think the first time we ran into her.
Spider bitch hurt.
Palmon runs to Mimi for help, but Golemon attacks and knocks her out.
Yeah, describe Golemon.
Rock dude.
He fart from his back.
He do have back fart.
He have like exhaust nozzles.
Yeah, he's got a whole exhaust system. So Golemon throws a rock at Palmon in such a way that like Palmon does this thing where like Golemon jumps at her and is about to land on her and squish her, but she throws her vine lash over towards a tree, grabs the tree, grapples over to it, does a sick spin move, and then gets gut shot by a boulder.
Gets slammed in the tummy by a boulder, and she is out. Like, she's out for the count here. It's harrowing. I was like, no, the girl! You must protect her.
Mimi, knowing that Golemon intends to destroy the dam and flood the nearby town, calls the other Digidestined for help. By yelling?
By screaming into the void, which apparently everyone can hear.
And
she goes, Taskete!
And they all instantly
and then
like,
they burst in and they say, Watashi wa kitai. And it's very cute.
They arrive in the digital world, and the armor Digimon go after Golemon. I didn't understand the reference.
Did you never watch My Hero Academia?
Nope.
Not even a little bit?
Not even any of it.
It's worth it.
Okay.
You should check it out sometime.
Maybe we'll do a podcast about that. They try to get him off the dam, but he is too strong.
He's too strong. We can't get him off. I have this problem, too.
I also have this problem. They try to get him off the dam, but he is too strong. They look for a dark ring. They can't find one.
Can't find his butthole. He doesn't have a butthole because he's a rock monster.
He's a rock monster.
He was a rock
monster. Golemon defeats the armored Digimon and breaks a hole in the dam. Water starts to flow down towards the town. The Digimon now have to stop the water from flooding the town. Nefertimon.
I did at this point go, oh, they're dead. Oh, everyone dies now. Yeah, that's, everyone that's dies literally now. You break one little hole in a dam and the immense pressure is going to force cracks through the whole thing and it crumbles. That's how that works.
That's how that works.
And then
Nefertimon plugs the hole in the dam with her Rosetta Stone.
Just shove a bunch of epitaphs in the hole. It'll yeah, just work.
Slam a bunch of commandments in there.
The literal stone tablets. It's so funny.
While the others build a new dam out of trees to stop the water from reaching the town, Nefertimon is involved sequence. In this. This is actually pretty cool because Shuramon is like running across the tree line, cutting trees down as he runs by. And Lydramon, for some reason, is able to lightning trees down as well, which I guess I've seen lightning split a tree.
Yeah, he's arc welding them.
So I guess directed lightning horizontally could maybe.
Or like an etching laser.
Yeah, like that. And then they use a golden lariat to collect up all the trees and turn them into a dam that they then drop into the riverbed.
Yeah.
Ahead of a crack in the earth that Digimon creates with Big Crack.
I forgot that's what he says.
He says Big Crack.
It's so good. It's much like the man praying at the Magic Tournament.
Yeah. How do you feel being represented in this show, Corlo?
Why would you do this to me?
You have a big crack.
I have a big crack. I have a butt for days.
You do have a huge ass, and it's very nice. I want to wear it like a ski mask.
Yeah.
Golemon defeats Armageddon, and they build a new dam. Golemon, however, isn't deterred and continues climbing the dam.
Oh yeah, he's still going for it.
He's still
this man
it.
Was just born, and he is ready for murder.
He has a mission. Daisuke realizes that since Golemon is bent on destroying the dam, they have no choice but to destroy him, but Yole and Iori don't want to.
They're like, no kill.
No killing.
No
I'm
kill.
A being. I'm 8-year-old Japanese Batman. No killing.
Yeah, Japanese Spider-Man gets a gun.
Cool.
Yeah, we should watch Japanese Spider-Man. That shit was actually sick as hell.
Have you ever seen Italian Spider-Man?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard the track by, I can't remember which electro artist did it, but there's a track called Italian Spider-Man that I love very much that we are going to listen to when we get out of here.
Have you seen Tifa Lockhart had a very impassioned performance during a meeting of the Italian Senate?
Pornografia! Oh, I've seen it. Mimi tells the others they may need to ask Ken for help. Somehow she knows that Ken has been helping them. Somehow she knows this and just does it. Golemon defeats Shuramon, devolving him back to Hawkmon, then attacks the other armored Digimon.
Oh, yeah. This is where everyone gets pummeled back into baby mode.
Yeah, they get gassed. They get punched. They get knocked around.
He fart through his back.
Palmon awakens and tells them that Golemon isn't a real Digimon, but a control spire?
A dark tower?
How?
Spirit could Needle. That be?
It's Spirit Needle. Stingmon flies in and does like 1,000 kicks on Golemon and knocks him back into an Akira slide. And then Golemon counterattacks and punches Stingmon and he goes into an Akira slide.
Yeah, a very poorly animated Akira slide where they kind of just, he just does a cross arm pose and then they shrink that static image down.
Yep.
It's very funny.
It's extremely bad.
Like there's no skid marks, no dust cloud. No, it's just and a sound effect.
Yeah. So Palmon explains what she saw, and TK realizes that Thunderballmon. Okay. That the Thunderballmon that Stingmon destroyed was a control spire too, and Ken must have figured
it
out.
So there was never a murder.
They never did a
murder. Except all the murders he did as the Kaiser, but let's forget about that.
Yeah, who cares about all that shit?
Did he Kaiser?
Hawkmon digivolves to Aquilamon when Yole realizes that she was wrong about Ken.
Describe Aquilamon, babe.
Horny bird.
He's legitimately such a cool design. It's like a griffin with bull horns.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
I love the design for him.
My note after Aquilamon's appearance is stab a bitch. Yeah. Because we get two different stabs into Gollummon. Stingmon fucking pierces his little stinger in there, and he's like, and all right, go for the killing blow, and Aquilamon
cracks
just
his
fucking
facade.
Yeah, just fucking slams those horns directly into his head. Yeah, he is no longer Gollummon anymore. It's just like a, not wireframe, what am I thinking of?
An
like
obsidian...
a black chassis.
Yeah.
In the shape of Gollummon underneath.
It's zany.
Yeah, just an animate dark tower, just like they were saying.
Just like they were saying. They combine their attacks to delete the false Gollummon. And then Ken says that he is sorry for what he has done.
Yeah, he says, I'm not going to make any excuses. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I did immense evil to this world, and I want to apologize. Daisuke wants Ken to join the team, but he walks away. And then Yole emails him.
Oh, yeah. Also asking just sends him a little text them. As he's walking away, and he hears the bling, and he checks his notebook and looks back, and she's holding the text thing and giving him just the goofiest smile. It's so cute.
It's incredibly adorable.
I love that moment. I made a squee out loud.
Pan mess. In love with Mimi. You're going to be texting that man right in front of your...
Right in front of Mimi?
Right in front of Mimi. That's fucked.
I mean, Mimi did seem to be, like, chill with him, too, so maybe she's just like, yeah, get that metamor.
Yeah, maybe they're cool like that.
Oh, and the contents of the text is the message, I'll be waiting for the day you join us. Thank you so much for your help today.
Yeah.
And then a smiley face.
Incredible.
Wait. There's actually a thing that we missed in the description that's fairly important, not for this episode, but for setting things up, and that's that Ken is struggling at school now.
Yeah.
We see him, like, nowhere near the top on his test results when they get posted, and the other kids are like, what the fuck? Ken's slipping?
What happened to that Ichijoji kid?
What happened to that Ichijoji kid? So, after not being evil, his academic skills aren't as heightened.
Who am I if I am not Studious Hitler?
Famously, ask not a very Ken. Studious person.
Ask Ken. He was more of a tweaker.
He was a painter. The man painter. Was like a bohemian who like dripped into fascism because it worked out for him, basically.
This will be the 9,000th time I've talked about this on a podcast. But Hitler's DeviantArt page is one of my favorite internet jokes of all time. it's just an image of his portrait of a chapel at Lyon.
Uh-huh.
And it says, this is my submission to art school. If I don't get in, I don't know what I'm going to do.
That's really fucking funny.
It's really fucking dark and funny.
That's so funny. Just the idea of like aspiring artist child Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, I hope I make it into art school. Because if I don't, I'm going to kill every Jewish and black person I can.
And don't forget all the gays and the trans people and the Roma.
Again, ton of people in the U.S. have that exact same arc.
Charlie Kirk, for example, Ben Shapinos.
Yeah. Tucker Carlson.
All these motherfuckers. Tucker Carlson. They're all failed artists.
Yeah. Like every single one of them wanted to do like something creative with their life and just ended up feeding fascism because it paid them, basically.
Yep. Absolutely. Cause it's like you meet people, and this is something that I've encountered. If you go to a meetup for like podcasts. I've been to a couple of events where it's like a whole bunch of podcasters and their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no dig on the people who are not podcasters, but when you see a group of podcasters talking to each other, it's a very different vibe from a group of fans talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's something animating certain people in this universe to be outgoing and talkative and witty, and like there's a spark in people that like gives them that power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to give it a value judgment. It's just some people don't have it and some people do.
And those... that drive can come from different shit for different people.
100%.
I don't know if you heard the most recent TWAPWO, or well, the re-release of their Mr. Beast episode.
I did not hear that.
Oh my God. It's harrowing. It's a difficult time, but it does touch into exactly these themes. Go listen to Worst of All Possible Worlds. That shit rules.
Great show.
Great show.
Fantastic show. They support Radio Free Topek.
Hell yeah.
If I remember correctly, they support this show too, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh. As of the last time we had one guest, actually. That was like the end of the episode, if you remember.
I do remember.
Good shit.
Excellent.
We're a little sidetracked here, babe. Do we want to?
Yeah, let's
start our.
Let's do our ratings because we have come to the end of the synopsis.
Yeah,
Corlo, what do you give this episode on a scale of Rookie to Mega?
On the one hand, kind of a standard episode as far as the action goes. Not a whole lot of really cool stuff going on, except for Palmon doing the fucking swishy move. That shit rules. On the other hand, the drama of this episode, the interpersonal connections and conflict, is really compelling. I was here going, maybe Daisuke doesn't completely suck. I was here going, I can't wait to see Ken on the team. I was here going, Yole is such a fucking pan disaster. And I kept looking back at Lilith like, aw.
Oh, what a pan disaster.
What a
personal pan disaster.
So I'm going to give this one an ultimate. It's not okay. Perfect, for sure, but it is absolutely like a really good little piece of media. Sit down and watch.
Love it. I'm going to give it very similarly an ultimate because it's just like I like to say on No, I'm Listening, a Frasier podcast available on patreon.com/RFTB. It doesn't do all the best things that a Digimon episode can do.
Yeah.
But it does some admirable stuff. It's like it has the pathos of Ken finally begging forgiveness in his very Ken way. He's not very effusive at all, but he's definitely like, okay, I'm sorry. Stingmon remains the Barra bug of my dreams. lots of good stuff happening here.
I definitely so I did ultimate. See Stingmon all huge and muscly and go, oh, wrist bait. That's cute.
Shouts to Riz. Okay, let's do this one now.
Pussy 2.
Pornography?
Pornography.
I've actually preloaded the pornography, much like a PlayStation 4 game, before its release. And I've provided it here, so why don't you click that first link, Audrey,
first
and we will
link
take a
takes
look.
Takes me to.
Oh, this one's getting you, huh?
Okay. All right. So here we have on like a green grassy field,
mm-hmm,
with a beautiful crystal clear blue sky with some light cloud cover. It's Akilamon, and Akilamon is blushing and looking back at you and has his tail feathers raised, and you can see his little pink human butthole.
Cloaca.
That's a butthole.
I mean, it's, yeah, but you don't see any junk, so I presume this is a cloaca.
I mean, that's a very suggestive bulge.
Yeah,
I think
fair,
that's
fair enough.
I think that's the back of Akilamon's balls.
Feathery ball sack.
It's the feathery ball sack, which is a fucking concept that I don't want to grapple with. I don't care to grapple with that.
It's hard to like handle someone's tickle kink if they're immune to their own feathers, because it's constantly tickling their balls at all times.
Yeah, they just get desensitized to it.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Does it tickle? Every time.
Every time I move.
It looks like a 9-year-old drew it.
Yeah, this image is so...
Like, you know, no shots at the artist.
I'm
going to
do a very ill-advised sub-segment of this show. The thing where I call Lilith in to look at one of the porns. Lilith, darling. Hello. We're recording, and I would like you to see this pornography.
She appears pained.
Why? Because as soon as Audrey saw it, she couldn't help but giggle and wanted to see your reaction.
She looks genuinely upset right now.
No, my food! I'm being punished. Wah. That segment backfired on me.
Yeah, it did.
He's gonna make great content.
Wait.
No shots. The art is in the making of the art. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You don't have to make a super detailed background. Your grass can be a green hemisphere with a bunch of little darker green splotches on it. That's fine. The leg is extremely busted.
Yeah, it's so busted.
you have one leg where the knee is bent 180 degrees the wrong way.
Yeah.
And one leg where it looks fine, actually.
And then, like, you take your mouse and you go to the very center of the image, and then you go straight down, and there's just the most detailed thing in the image is the butthole.
Is the butthole. Is the fucking... You know what? Yeah, it really is.
It's the brown eye. It's the pink eye. It's really good juxtaposition. I like it a lot.
Holy shit. Okay. Pull up that second one and I'll get to describing this one.
Okay.
This one is kind of in our wheelhouse, actually. This is a Kilamon, once again, only one I could get any images for this time. Gollumon apparently has no fans.
Unfortunately.
Which is a shame. He's got 4 back holes to stick your dick in.
You'd get gas in your dick.
Yeah, gas sound. Fart sounding. Hi, Gigi.
Future sex and fart sounds.
Yo, it's a lyrical paragraph. Your jokes make me laugh. Or you're fucking, you're something.
Okay. Look at the Zekilamon.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I fucking lost my mind there for a moment. Yeah, we have an Akilamon looking coquettishly away, very anthro, like standing up bipedally, pretty much just wings instead of upper arms.
Mm-hmm.
But she's looking off to the side with her eyes still looking back at you, all blushy blush. She's quite chubby and fully in the nude, and she's got enormous honk of badonkers.
That's true.
That are quite shiny, actually.
Yeah.
The shading on that is like, those and her tummy are just like very reflective in this bright, bright light.
She's covered in feathers.
She's covered in
Feathers can be shiny. Yeah.
Yeah, depending on how you arrange them, you can like fucking blind things that are coming at
you. You can see mammalian nip shading.
Yeah, yes. There's mammalian nip shading. There is a straight up areolas under these feathers. You can't
can
quite
see the
nips.
Can the episode title be mammalian nip shading?
We'll find out when we get there. I do like that the plumage coming off of the chest and then the head coming off the plumage does make her look a bit like a Neapolitan ice cream cone. And where her pussy should be out and clearly visible, there is a massive tuft of plumage.
I'm going to suggest that this angle would not have revealed her pussy, that it's just barely.
You know what?
She's
chubby enough. You're absolutely right.
Very tasteful.
We would just be seeing some fupa, but in place of fupa, we've got little feather tuft. And she's all blushy and shy about it, and it's pretty cute.
I do like it.
Yay. How about that third one?
Birds do nothing for me, though, actually. So
me neither. I'll be fair.
Yeah.
But what about this one?
Okay. All right, who's that second character?
That is Ren Impmon, which is Ren a fan character, Impmon. Like, fusion of Renamon and Impmon.
Okay, cool.
She's got Twi'lek, like fucking...
Head tails, yeah.
The fuckable head tails, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, what we've got is Akilamon, who is kind of standing, holding up by the legs, a much smaller character named Ren Impmon, I've learned, who is getting just stretched out in the pissoir by a penis the size of her torso.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks a little horrified that it's taking place.
Mm.
She could be, that could be like a moan of ecstasy, but she looks like, oh fuck, oh shit! I don't care for this one in the slightest, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I like a big insertion. I like a short stack. I mean, yeah, she looks very pensive about it, and that's not great. I prefer enthusiasm.
Yes.
But the general setup here, and a really nice touch is the belt is like stretched completely taut by this massive insertion.
By the head of the cock, which is annihilating her rib cage.
It's not quite her rib cage. It is destroying her kidneys and liver, though. Those are gone.
I can't fuck with that. That's too much for me.
It's okay. You have to give into a little bit of cartoon logic for stuff stuff like huge insertions, macro.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
All the way through. Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to accept that they have Roger Rabbit anatomy.
Yeah. That they're cartoon characters. First and foremost, they're not depictions of a living being. They are cartoon characters.
Yeah, you have to understand that Toon World is in the field spell zone and active right now. I do appreciate the pendulous balls pulled taut.
We do love a balls pulled taut.
I like voluminous Orby balls.
Orbies.
I love testicular Orbies. I think they're cool. I just think they're Marge holding a voluminous scrotum.
God damn it. Who's your digital champion?
Oh fuck, it's Ren Impmon for taking that huge hog. No. No, of course it's fucking Palmon.
Okay, yeah,
it
has
to be Palmon. She's our MVP. She's the one that gets the ball rolling. She's the one who takes the biggest hit for the team. And she's Palmon.
She's in the episode, folks. We love her. You're stimming. I love it. I'm going to give my digital champion to Daisuke. Finding forgiveness in his heart for Ken with like almost no motivation, definitely just grace given. And like, yeah, you know, he seems okay now and everything's cool. And I think we can forgive him and have him join the team. You know, it could be like a calculated thing. It could be like a, you know, maybe there's something really strong out there that we're going to need to fight and we need another guy. And
maybe
Stingmon seems pretty strong, but I think it's just the purity in his heart. And...
yeah, Daisuke has a pebble for a brain. That man is not thinking two steps ahead.
No, he's not tactical.
So no, I think this is fully sincere. And honestly, this is a great great jumping off point to talk about this in the context of like right-wing recidivists.
Mm.
Right? To what degree are you obligated as a leftist participating in leftist communities to try and onboard people who want out from the right? To what degree can you trust someone to be genuine in that effort? Where and how do you pull them into better spaces when they are, you know, a bit of a Nazi, but working on it?
See, that's
you know what
I
mean.
Yeah,
you can't, like, there is a serious amount of pushback that you're going to get in most leftist spaces, understandably, for bringing the kind of people who make you like make these folks feel unsafe that they have been creating these spaces as bulwarks against.
Like, there's a part of me that wants to say, the second you get your swastika lasered off and you are making a genuine effort to remove that from your body, first of all, and trying to remove it from your politics, and the second you're making a genuine effort to join a more just political movement, then you're good. But there is also a part of me that's like, yeah, but what if they tell, you know, what if a Nazi infiltrates my tenants union?
Yeah,
and gets,
what if
they're tries to kill us? Yeah.
What if they're just coming along to, like, feed information around, like, what you're planning for your community?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, this ties in here. The Digimon Kaiser was a fascist genocider and enslaver. And here we have, I mean, in this case, it is legitimately a different person, as we're going to see in later stuff.
Yeah, it's gone through a genuine rebirth.
Yeah, like, there was something in Ken making him a much worse person that is physically gone now. But, like, to what degree can you trust that, right? They didn't see any of this.
Yeah.
They don't know about the Dark Seed. They don't know what the fuck that is. We don't even fully know what that is yet.
In cartoons, I can allow my instinct to say the second you get on the right path, you're back in.
Yeah. But in real life, IRL these things are messy. Yeah. People are able to rebound. Like, people are fully capable of rebounding. Sometimes people might have the impulse to leave these things, and because they're in a fucking skinhead gang that knows their name and address and family, don't feel safe getting out.
Yeah.
You that's know, much be, like with cults.
That's got to be a particular kind of nightmare.
Yeah, to be like, oh, I'm in something evil and I can't get out without hurting the people I care about.
Yeah. Call that pussy the Matrix because I'm in this bitch and I can't get out.
If it don't stink, I don't want it.
She's... Never mind. I was going to say the line about she's...
You were going to keep fucking doing Dracula flow. I almost got you going.
She let me get a sniff of that mahi-mahi. Okay. They needed a stealth soldier, so I put my finger... I put my hands on the hibachi hot plate at Benihana and burned my fucking fingerprints off.
But,
incredible. That's my favorite line in the whole thing anymore.
Yeah.
Did I
so
tell
I
you it's on,
I don't have
did
a
I tell
conclusion.
You it's on Spotify and I like listen to Dracula Flow a lot of mornings anymore?
Oh yeah, anyway. I'm sure you do. I was just going to say, like, I don't have a good answer for that argument, but it is an argument that needs to be had.
Yeah.
In our communities.
Hopefully in the
coming
years,
what kind of holding
years.
Spaces can and should we sure. make?
Hopefully this is a question that we will have to answer in the coming years as things become more dire and fascism continues to fail to address the material needs of the individuals that carry it out.
The tendency of fascism is to thin down the top of the pyramid
yep.
over time, is to yep. expel everybody, including the people that made it what it is.
That's right. And as those people get fucked over by grocery prices and climate disaster and all
deportation.
Of these deportation and all of these fucking pure evil shit that's happening in our world and in our country specifically, hopefully we will have to answer the question, what do we do with all these former Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
But today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to honor our shout out tier. That's right. At patreon.com/datatransfer. You can go and join us at the Digidestined tier. There are a scant 3 spots left.
Mm hmm.
Or let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 4. There are four spots left for the Digidestined tier. I said that it was said that the first 20 subscribers who subscribe at $5 a month get the first shout outs. And the price is going up after that. But these people have joined us at the shout outs here. They are the Digidestined, and we're going to read them now. Beginning with who we beginning with, Carla?
Ember Saffron, a brand new shit. One.
New shit. Check this out. Hex Meowniac, also new shit.
Yeah, we
two
have
new subscribers since the last episode.
We have the worst of all possible worlds since the last episode.
Very, very cool. Asa.
Nobody Newt.
Saturday's Claire.
This penguin is the ruination of Western fascism, parentheses cat.
Jubilation Lee.
Pablo Hummus.
Mish.
Wayland the Sprite Smith.
Maya.
Teresa.
Bubba Nitro.
And Gigi Savage.
Gigi.
Girlfriend.
Gigi. 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 Metamore. Gigi.
Dog. Bark, bark.
Dog. Dog. Bork, bork, baby.
That's what $5 gets you.
Yeah.
If that's your bag, we got you.
We got you, baby. Thank you to the new people, particularly for joining up in the drought that is the last month or so. It really means a lot to us that you would, that you love our content so much that you're like, I don't even know if there's going to be any new stuff coming out, but I want them to have a little bit of my money because I love them.
Damn, you got into like a rap flow there. That's
really
sick. You were like, okay, free, cool. You were freestyling. That's cool.
I was spitting. when I'm going from the heart, you know?
I do want to say, we got a recipe.
We did get a recipe.
We got a recipe in our email. Thank you. Thank you, Ember.
Thank you so much, Ember, for fulfilling our dreams and giving us a cooking recipe.
I am cooking that shit before the next episode, and I'll tell y'all how it goes.
Hell yeah. Love it. I'm going to tell you another thing that I love.
Me?
You. And Radio Free Tote Bag is a show about relationships. You go over to your podcast app. You type in Radio Free Tote Bag and you find a lovely show produced by me and my co-host Donovan about relationship advice. And recently we're starting to make a pivot towards general advice because I can't answer. My boyfriend gave me chlamydia. What do I do? One more fucking time. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. So we're going
to
start
to find unique stuff this many episodes in.
Almost 8 years on, we're like, can we do something else? And so we are kind of, we're making a 10 degree pivot towards general advice.
General advice. Now you're the McElroys.
Oof. I mean, that's what I wanted to avoid.
Okay. But they are dying. It is a dying empire. So it's time for you to fill that power vacuum.
Usurp them. But you find it anywhere you find your podcast. Radio Free Tote Bag, good-hearted advice about mental health, gender identity, relationships, and life. Check it out. Carlo, what do you have to plug?
I have another little podcast not too dissimilar to this one in a far distant land called Equestria, where everyone is some kind of four-legged beast of burden. There's a bunch of gay little fucking ponies. It's called My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And we check that shit out, along with discussing the rise of American fascism. Once again, a little bit like this show.
Yeah, what's the name of the show?
It's called Post Ponies.
Yay!
And it's me and Gigi. You heard about her earlier. Cool. And Aki, she's fucking cool. And Ruby, oh, yeah. She is biblically accurate. she is an anomaly and I love that about her. Go check it out. You can hear it on any podcast thing, and you can also find us at smallgayhorse.com.
Best URL in the game. Love it. That's it, folks. Oh, we did it.
Nope. datatransferpod@gmail.com. Send us recipes. It worked before. We gotta keep doing it.
I actually don't know how to get into the fucking email.
How did you get the recipe?
I think we're locked out. She sent it on.
What are you talking about?
She sent it on Patreon.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
I think we're locked out of that Gmail.
All right, we'll figure something else out. But
okay.
In the meantime, send us recipes on Discord
and Patreon.
Through Patreon.
Yeah.
find my old fucking MySpace if that's
hit my live journal.
It definitely does not have my real name on it anymore.
Bang my Zanga. And get out there and buy the product.